Hello, this is Thomas Mack, and this is Bad Actions. Welcome to my podcast about bad news. And I'm happy this week because there's, again, a bountiful amount of bad news. I did want to talk to you about something very special. First off, I just wanted to say I love you. I love you so much, my listeners. I love you. I don't know, I'm just trying it out. It seems to be work. I mean, Trump's always telling people that he loves them. And like dictators, it's just the thing. Like, they're always like going down with like, I love you. It's always struck me as really odd. Like, why are they so in love with me? I don't really know Donald Trump. How does he know he loves me? I mean, I know he's heterosexual. And as you probably suspected, I'm a male, and I'm a straight male as well, so I don't even swing that well. Wait, Donald, I hope it's not a hard letdown. I don't think it is, because I think he gets enough action from some of the criminal cases that he's involved with. It seems like he gets a lot of action. It's like more action than most people are comfortable with. Really going to throw his ass in jail for all the leg he's getting. I mean, he's bedding porn stars. He's paying porn stars and Playboy models to have sex with him. But he still loves me. I mean, he's in there in the TV box telling me he loves me. So that can't be just words. He loves me. Don't be jealous. I'm sure he loves you as well. I mean, he's telling me he loves me. He says it to me again and again and again. He keeps telling me he loves me. But I'm sure he might like you guys okay. I mean, I think I'm hopeful he thinks you guys are okay. At least okay. I mean, he doesn't love you like he loves me, because he keeps saying it. He just can't stop. He loves it. He just loves telling me he loves me. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, hey, Thomas, he's cheating on you. He's cheating on you. And I know he's cheating on me. I know, because he's even said it. He said that he is in love with Xi Jinping of China. And he said that he and Kim Jong-un of North Korea are having a love affair. So that is cheating. It hurts, but, I'm a big boy. I knew what I was getting into the first time he told me he loved me in the box on my TV table. But, I can handle it. I can handle it. I mean, he's two-timing me. He's like 18-timing me, or maybe 147-timing me. At least I wasn't stupid enough to marry him. I mean, that's a lot. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's definitely not, you know, if it's kill, marry, fuck, it's he's fuck. I think you fuck him, but you don't marry Donald Trump. He's definitely not a marry. Maybe, and I can't say that kill him, because that's like against the law. So I'm not gonna even go there. But, obviously he's screwing around with porn stars. Famously with Stormy Daniels, that trial will go to trial in just a couple of weeks now. Actually, depending on when you're listening to this, maybe even sooner. Actually, it's almost a week, just a week away. So that's exciting. He keeps trying to delay it. His whole plan, like, he has all these legal problems, Donald Trump, is just delay and delay and delay, and then become president and declare himself dictator. He just wants to be American king and then outlaw all cases against him. And, you know, there's a certain population in the United States that is down for that. They're like, you know, because they think he loves them, because they also watch the television and see him constantly saying, I love you. So what's that about? I mean, I guess he's two-timing us with us, but it's all for fun. He's a fun lay, I guess. Maybe that's why evangelicals like him so much, because he is like, they're always talking, you know, Jesus was all about love, and Donald Trump's all about love. He's so full of love. He just gets out. I love it when he like mouths the words, I love you, to everybody in the audience. He's like, I love you. I love you. I love you. It's just so ridiculous. Que ridiculoso. But he doesn't like immigrants. We know that much. And so it's strange. Like, there's some polling on Hispanics in the United States who say that, like, it's about 50-50 now. About half of Hispanics in the United States, they break for Donald Trump, which makes a little bit of sense because, you know, in Latin America, strongman politics, which, you know, that's Trump. It's the style of politics where you're the big man, you're the strong guy, you're tough dude. You know, Hispanics are pretty acquainted with that. I mean, Fidel Castro is a classic strongman. And throughout Latin America, South America, there's a lot of, you know, that kind of tough guy stuff going on. But also, it doesn't make sense because it doesn't matter how much they like Donald Trump. Donald Trump does not like Hispanics. I mean, you can vote for him. He'll let you vote for him. He'll enjoy you voting for him. But you're not a member of the club. Do not show up for the party. You're not getting in. You know? I mean, maybe that's mean to say, but, you know, at least I say it. You know, it's important for people to know. You know, I am a white guy, and you might have picked up on that because of my accents or just some of the, I'm very white. I'm very straight. I'm that cisgender, white, straight guy that, you know, and that's it. You know, I'm not apologizing for it, or maybe I should, but it's just the way it is. So what happens when you're a straight white guy is that every other straight white guy, you know, the bigoted ones, they all think that it's okay to come to you and lay some real racist shit on you. They would just like, oh, I got the funniest joke, Tom, I want to tell you about. And then they lay down some like N-word joke or something along those lines, or a joke about, you know, a nasty word for Hispanics, and they just lay this junk on you because, as a straight white guy, of course, I'm totally okay with it, right? I mean, there couldn't be possibly the case where, like, this would be offensive to me because I'm a straight white guy. Well, no, it is offensive, and I actually have a sense of humor, so I like to laugh at actual funny jokes instead of, you know, usually the punchline to like a racist joke, and people really think they're funny. I don't understand why, but the punchline is always like, but I hate, you know, insert minority here. That's the punchline. It's clever ways of saying we hate minorities. You know, I'm telling you, Hispanics, that Trump tells these jokes. He tells these jokes about you because he's not very, people always say that Trump tells the truth, you know, which he doesn't. He lies constantly. He can't stop lying. He just, like, you know, he's paying like E. Jean Carroll about $90 million right now because he just can't stop lying. He can't help himself. He can't stop himself from lying. She's, you know, she's the one that, you know, well, it's in court now. There was a court that found that he molested her at the very least. Digitally. They said he digitally molested her. I don't think I have to explain what that is. But, yuck. Anyways, in a changing room at a clothing store or something like that. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I didn't argue these cases, so don't judge. But, yeah, he digitally molested her. And, yes, that means finger digits. But, yeah, and, you know, so she sued him for defaming her when he said he didn't molest her because it's too late. And again, ladies, if you do get molested, don't sit around wondering if you should prosecute, because, you know, there's a 7-year statute of limitations on many felonies, including, and for some felonies, it's much less. I mean, if you shoplift and just, you know, go into hiding for a couple years, you're probably clear. You don't have to worry anymore. They can't prosecute you anymore. But for rape, it's 7 years. And for some, I think murder, they can always get you on murder. So sorry, murderers. You'll have to just keep laying low because there's no getting away with that. But rapists, huzzah, 7 years. That's all you got to do. Just live in the mountains for 7 years or something like that. And then it's over, apparently. Because anyways, E. Jean Carroll even says that, you know, she kind of sat. She had a friend who's told her, oh, Trump, he's rich. He'll beat it. Don't bother turning him in. And then, so she kept her mouth shut. And then all of a sudden he's president of the United States. So that's a big disappointment for her. She kind of bet on him just being some, you know, rich cracker from New York City. And she, you know, that didn't happen, you know, so he just got, I think it was like the Apprentice. That show really made him. That guy, he was out in his ass with a lot of banks in New York City. A lot of people wouldn't give him money because he's not the most generous person in the world. He will stiff you. He does not pay all his bills, and so he's famous for, you know, putting a lot of people out of business in Atlantic City because he owned a number of casinos there. And if you were renovating his casinos, you maybe didn't get paid 100% what you billed him for, because that's his art of the deal. You know, like, he'll hire you for $10,000 to renovate some bathrooms, and then he's going to pay you three. Pada! He just did the art of the deal. Check it out. How good is that? Anyways, I'm sorry. This is supposed to be about bad news. I just want like a 10-minute riff on the Republican front runner, the presumptive Republican nominee for president of the United States, who's also likely to be serving time at the point when his term would begin, because the trial starts in a week, you know. So, so the trial on you know, messing around, getting a little something something with getting a little busy with a porn star and a Playboy model, and then paying them. And again, I can't say this often enough. If you are a billionaire and you happen to have sex with a porn star and then you want to pay them off, just attain legal funds. I mean, if you're doing that kind of thing, shouldn't you, like in the movies, they always have like a big safe in their office, like a big safe, and they just keep a bunch of dollars in there. You know, they keep cash money in there, and they use that for bribery and also to leave the country if you're going to jail. And I think it's obviously, like, if Donald Trump gets convicted, he's serving time. He's not, he can't leave the country because apparently he doesn't have a safe thrill full of cash. He doesn't have that. So, but it, you know, so he commits, you know, basically embezzles from himself, and so now he's going to go to jail for that, I guess, if they prove the case and get the conviction, which I think they're going to get. That's my prediction. I think they'll get a conviction on that because there is evidence, and there's a lot of witnesses who really freaking hate him. And some of them are really famous, just like Trump. So it won't be like just the fame, you know, because Donald Trump's famous. And people, like, they're weird about convicting famous people. They're like, oh, I don't feel comfortable. I really liked him in The Apprentice. I don't feel comfortable. He probably didn't mean it. You know, it's been studied. Like, famous people are a lot less likely to be convicted because everybody has, like, feels like they have a relationship with them. And plus, Donald Trump loves the jury. He keeps telling everybody he loves them. He's just so loving. But on to the bad news. I mean, the situation in Israel and Palestine is just, it's beyond who, I don't, I think I, you know, I'm the type of straight white male where I think I have answers to all the problems of the world. Because like all old white gray haired men, I do. I could solve all the problems. You just have to ask me and I'll clear things up, and, you know, it'd be no problem. I'll just sort all the shit out. I'll mansplain it to you, and then you just do exactly what I tell you, and the whole thing's going to turn out great. So, but even in, for me, even Israel, like, I don't know how, I don't have to, you know, I'm clueless. It's so messed up in that part of the country. But Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi, don't bomb the relief workers who are rich white people from the United States. You know, Biden had some advisors and also had a one-on-one with Netanyahu where they basically said, stop it. You really know. You got to stop it. Wrap it up. All right. You had your war. You've won. I think you've won the war. It's pretty resounding. You just need to stop bombing places. And the thing about Netanyahu is he's another one of those, like, he probably says I love you to people in the microphones all the time too, because he's like the Israeli Trump. He's like big strong man, and it's classic, like, the big strong men are never all that strong, you know. I mean, how did that October 7th thing even get off? They were flying, you know, we had about a bunch of terrorists that flew over the border into Israel from the West Bank. And they were in like paragliders. They were flying over in a recreational, you know, thrill sport device with some guns. And they thought they were going to die. They thought the Israeli military would kill them. This was a suicide mission. And they all went home. They basically, very few of them actually died. So that's pretty bad, Benjamin. Right there, I'm not sure. I mean, and also it's well known. And there's also been some podcasts where they interview Israeli security people who were like, we were warning him. They said we knew about this like a year in advance. They knew Hamas was going to fly over the border in, you know, paragliders and try to kill people. And, of course, Benjamin did nothing. But now he's just, like, going crazy. And he's killing relief workers. And so he's a big tough guy. So, you know, it just gets more and more effed up. I already swore, I guess. So it's too late. It's pretty fucked up. That country is fucked up. And so that's not good. You know, nobody wants that. And, you know, and the coverage of it is just deplorable because on Fox News, you know, if you watch Fox News, I don't recommend it. Don't watch Fox News, obviously. You should just listen to my podcasts and I'll tell you what's going on. I got all the bad news. I'm not going to force you to like listen to any bullshit about good news stories about like some little girl who makes cookies for firemen or some shit. Like that's not news. So stop reporting on that. It's not news. I'm sorry. But, nobody cares about the little girl who makes, unless she's cute, and then they'll be like, oh, but that's not news. That's just, you know, exploitation. I'm sorry. Cut it out. But, you know, on Fox News, you know, they're just all in it for Israel, you know, because they always side with oppressors, the far right. Doesn't matter who's, you know, oppressing. They're down. They're down for that. But then on NPR, you know, the interviews there, they interview, you know, military leaders, and they can't, and I'm not even talking about interviewing, like, Israeli military leaders. Not, I get that, you know, like, if you're interviewing Israeli military leaders, and they tell you, oh, it's going great in the West Bank, you know, Gaza it's fine, you know, then of course you're like, oh, really? It doesn't seem like it's going fine. But, you know, they interview American military leaders, and it's just, I mean, and, you know, at one point I was listening to one, and the guy just stopped talking for like a minute. He was like, what's going on? I mean, why is she so angry? I mean, I'm not doing it. I didn't attack Israel, and I'm not attacking Gaza. I'm just here for, you know, to give some background. I mean, if Shrill was a personality, that would be like the temperament of the reporter on NPR last week. And they were interviewing American military leaders about the war in Israel that we're not involved with, by the way. I mean, yeah, we back Israel. We've given them weapons, many weapons over the years. But basically, Israel wouldn't exist. That's the other thing that's kind of surprising. I mean, you know, Biden kind of pulled him aside and was like, you know, if we stop giving you weapons, Israel will stop being a country. And that's just factual, you know, like they're, you know, if you look on a map, and Israel's a tiny little place. It's a little, you know, it's kind of like Swiss cheese where there's some Palestinian areas in there. So it's not even very big. I mean, Syria, which is a tiny country, is like twice its size. And then, you know, and then it's got some very rich enemies there, like Saudi Arabia, and some crazy ones like Iran. So, and you know, and the surprising thing is, before this all started off, some of the you know, Muslim countries in the area, like Egypt, were starting to say we were going to recognize Israel as a country. And I think that's why Hamas attacked when it did, because it looked like Israel was going to enter a period of normalized relations, which, again, none of you know about because it was good news. And so nobody listens to those news stories. But it was happening. It was actually good news. And so Hamas was like, oh, okay, well, we're just going to go to a music fest in Israel and rape some women and behead them. And well, that'll put an end to that action. And that's a big success. And so that's basically what everybody's advising Netanyahu. Like, basically, we're at a point here where we got to stop backing you if you keep on this bullshit. And if we stop backing you, there's no Israel, you know. I don't know. I mean, in the future, they'll just talk about Israel as like being another crusade, you know, like another foolish Western crusade into the Middle East. People even forget that there were Jews in Israel, I think, 1,000 years from now. But and that's not what anybody wants to see. We'd all like to see. We just want you to see you work it out. We want to forget about Israel again. You know, there was a period there where we almost forgot Israel existed, because again, there's no such thing as good news. So when good things are happening in Israel, we're just not thinking about you. And we'd like to see good things in Israel. We'd like to see, you know, Palestinians a little happier than they have been. And I know they're fighting for their lives right now, which is horrible. So cut it out, Netanyahu. That's my advice. It's not a joke. I generally tell jokes, but I'm taking a break from that, because I don't know how to solve all your problems, Benjamin Netanyahu, but what you're doing right now certainly isn't doing it. News story today about, there's been a lot of news stories about Donald Trump's Truth Social, which is bad news because it's such a bad social media platform. I mean, but you know, it's gone public and it's losing cash like crazy because it doesn't make money. And so its revenue stream is so slim that it just doesn't make any sense. Even with like the whole let's pay off a future president angle, and that happens, you know, and that's something that was reported on as well, which is that the Russian affiliated businessmen have been basically propping up Truth Social for years by basically lending Donald Trump money. And this is a common story, you know, like when Donald Trump blew up Atlantic City by going into bankruptcy with Taj Mahal Casino. And he always loves to say that, like, I've never declared bankruptcy. Well, he's declared bankruptcy multiple times. He's never declared personal bankruptcy. He always keeps himself separate, you know, which he'll always tell you, like, Taj Mahal was a great deal. He made a lot of money off it. Taj Mahal didn't make any money. Taj Mahal was a horrible failure, but he made money because he was pulling money out of that casino like a bandit, and then he declared bankruptcy, and you know that bankers don't like that. They lose their butt when they when you declare bankruptcy. So he couldn't get a loan. He could not get a loan, and a lot of people. There was actually some reporting on it in New York. They're declaring him dead. They thought Donald Trump's, you know, a businessman no longer. He can't get a loan. Businessman, the banks won't, they won't work with him. And then, da-da-da-da, in flies Russian oligarchs. And they were happy to give him some money. Because they needed to clean it anyways. That's the other thing he does with, because he, you know, he sells a lot of real estate in New York. And he also sells, you know, a lot of his golf courses and that sort of thing. And he'll sell properties above market value. Now, what does that mean? I mean, like, if you and I were going to buy a house, we'll look at the market and we'd say, oh, okay, in this neighborhood, you know, houses are selling for $300,000. And then if the guy said, well, this house is $600,000 or this house is $1 million, you'd be like, no, I am going to pay you $300,000. That's what the going rate is in this neighborhood. That's what this house is worth. It's not a bigger house than my neighbor's house. It's $300,000. Take it or leave it. Well, Trump is always selling these condo units and houses and mansions at well above market value. Now you say, well, that's just, he's a golden businessman. He's showing his big business prowess. Not really, because that is a technique called money laundering, which is often considered a crime. You may have heard of it in gangster movies, But basically, you know, money laundering is when someone buys something at above market value or whatnot, and you say, I don't really care where that money came from. And yes, you can pay me in, you know, fives and tens. You can pay me however you want. I'll take, you know, 5 million pennies. But anyways, you know, you just take the money however it comes. You can pay him in cocaine, you know, but, and then all they got to do is turn around like 5 years later and sell that unit. And they get that money. And it's clean money now. It's money that came out of a real estate sale. So if anybody looks into, hey, where did this oligarch get the $5 million? Oh, he got it when he sold the penthouse in Trump Tower. So he does sell a lot of real estate to Russians, to rich Russians. And I don't want to sound racist, but there's no such thing, at least not right now, as an honest Russian businessman. It doesn't exist. They're all, it's just a crime. It's an, you know, kleptocracy is what they call it. They're all crooks. And people like to say that about the United States. Oh, the business community, they're all crooks. You know, blah, blah, you know, look, you've... You don't know how good you got it. Yeah, businessmen, they're greedy. Oh, yeah, everybody's greedy. I'm greedy. You're greedy. Don't tell me you're not greedy. You are. But, you know, in Russia, they have refined their abilities to be greedy. They've elevated greed to, like, a whole art form. And so, and the whole, you know, if you are an honest businessman in Russia, you're not a business Russian businessman. You are not making any money because you can't, if everybody's cheating. It's like playing football. If there's no regulations and you're on the field and guys are just following like crazy and you're not following, you're going to get your head killed. You're going to lose your head. You're going to die out there. But but Vladimir Putin, on the other hand, getting back to Russia, he's one of the few like strongman politicians who doesn't walk around telling everybody how much he loves them. You know, he's like all mobster. He's all in on this, like, I'll kill you. I mean, there have been not well-veiled, and this is, again, the bad news here. There's been, like, news reports, like, on Russian media in Russia where they talk about what it would be like to nuke England, you know? So that's a lot. You know, imagine that, like if you're watching like CNN and they started talking about, hey, what would it be like to nuke Australia? You know, I mean, so it'd be unusual. And so it's a little outlandish. And it's also frightening because that's state controlled media. You know, CNN is a private company. And you know, a lot of politicians like to remind people of that because they hate CNN. Because CNN has tough questions, and they don't enjoy that. Politicians don't like that. And Putin doesn't have that right now. He's got, it's all state media. And his state media is talking trash about nuking countries. And he hasn't talked any trash about nuking America that I know of just yet. But he's working his way. He's getting his head around the idea of World War III. So again, this is bad actions. I think I'll end on that note. World War III. It seems like it's brewing in Vladimir Putin's. I keep seeing these teaser stories that Putin might be sick, you know, like, which is actually good news. But so maybe that's the rare good news story, but it never comes through. It always falls through. It's like the Russian propaganda. You can't trust any of it, you know, like everything that comes out of the Soviet or of Russia is total garbage. But anyways, this has been Bad Actions, and my name is Thomas Mack. Have a great one.